Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding, and he's here every week to make sure that the show stays on course one way or the other, Neil Coulong, sir. Welcome.
As always, it's great to be here. Perfectly timed, too, right at the end deadline in the NFL. This works out very well.
It does work out well. It also works out where your neighbor came over and shoveled you out last week. That's good.
I won't comment on that, but more like the other way around. I'm just saying.
I'm not surprised.
I might be recovering. I'm not sure.
I'm not surprised. I want to start, before we get to Daniel Jones and Saquon, I want to get to Lamar Jackson. I was not surprised at how the Ravens did it, because it's a cheaper number, and I can't see anybody else offering him a bigger number. What was your thoughts on Lamar Jackson?
Honestly, I could go the whole segment on this. I really could. I don't know if there's anything the Ravens could say clearly about this entire situation. I don't know if this is a great year. Had your quarterback want a Deshaun Watson-level contract? Last year was a great year for that, and that's why we saw it. I don't think that market is there. I really don't. Most of the teams really looking for a quarterback are within a stone's throw of the top pick, which is held by a team that doesn't need a quarterback. You're going to see a lot of moves at the top of the draft, and there are going to be probably four quarterbacks taken. I just guess right now in March in the first seven picks. So it's a year in which not going to be a team to say, well, we're not going to get a quarterback this year. You know, we need to dip into free agency. We need to make a trade. I don't think that's there. Certainly not for a player that has missed a pretty good chunk of time the last two seasons, including a playoff game this past year, and wants a completely guaranteed five-year contract. If that's not what Lamar Jackson wants, okay, it's a different story. Then I would question why Baltimore wasn't able to get a deal done before the tag deadline. Now, to their credit, they said, we've tagged people before. This is Eric DaCosta speaking through the team about an hour ago. We've tagged players before and worked out a long-term deal. That's true. He hasn't done it with a quarterback. So I don't know if they're going to have interest from a team that wants to pay a Watson or Wilson level price to acquire a player who wants a Watson Wilson level contract. I don't know if that's there for them. The cheaper tag in that case would make the most sense. Then you pay him the least amount that you can. A team that's already up against the cap has a lot of moves that they need to make, and they only have a couple days now to get underneath it. And with the $32 million hit that Jackson brings on this tag, they have a substantial amount of moves that they need to make. And here's the kicker, though, Steve. Is Jackson going to sign it?
Yeah.
It goes on the cap anyway. He'll get it back in increments during the season if he doesn't play. But they have to carry that tag unless they can get a long-term deal workout. So, to me, if anything, it really represents we want to carry the least amount on the salary cap. But for them, it represents to me that they're really all in on signing him or probably taking less value to trade him. And I'm not sure what the market is going to look like around the NFL. Somebody would give up something for him. I don't want to suggest that he's valueless. It's just that three first-round pick or two first-round picks and a two or a three, that market doesn't look all that strong right now. And the Ravens have to cut $32 million off of their cap between now and the start of the league year on March 15th just to move through legally.
Yeah.
Available for them to make in free agency with this. So unless they're like right on top of a deal for him, they're going to have a rough offseason. It's not going to start off very well for them.
No, it's not, as a matter of fact. And what's interesting is that you and I both know that after a new TV deal is signed, everybody then spends crazy money. And then everything settles down. That's always been the pattern. Then the next year it starts to settle a bit. Jackson hit it wrong because this is the settle year. And like we're seeing in media rights, right now, everybody's now starting to be a little more cost conscious. So his timing was not right on this.
No, it really was not a good year to get into it, and you know, probably not a whole lot you can do about it. But the money was there last year, as we saw, like you alluded to. Next year is necessarily all that bad, but here's the linchpin is this: you've got four quarterbacks that have all the makings of guys that typically get drafted in the top five. You know, I don't think there's one of them that I could say right now I'd be shocked if we're one through five in this draft. Let's just say there's four of them that go in the first five picks, and it could be four of the first four. That's 1/8 of the league, you know?
Yeah.
What team needs a quarterback at that point? Do you want to trade your high premium pick with other capital that's just as valuable to acquire the player that you got to pay probably upwards of $100 million this year in his sixth season in the NFL and playing a style of football that connected to long-term health? In a very favorable way. Do you want to do that, or do you want to draft a guy who costs literally less than 0.1% as much and at least has the potential to become a pretty good player in maybe a year or two? Can you wait that long at that price? From a business perspective, I don't know a whole lot of people that are going to take Jackson over the rookie in that case. And that's right. Really kind of what the NFL is built on. It's hard to acquire quarterbacks agency. It's cost prohibitive, and the opposite is true when it comes to Jones' situation in New York. You have to pay the premium to keep him because you've already invested the work in it. You already know who he is, what you have with him, and you feel that you can continue to make him better. Now it's just as much a gamble, in my opinion, on the Giants' perspective, but the window doesn't have to be as long. They gave him a 4-year deal as opposed to the 5-year deal that Lamar wants. It's interesting to me how much power the quarterback wields across the entire NFL. And I think this offseason shows with remarkable accuracy how true that is, just in the cases of Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, and the draft class. You put those together, that's 90% of the offseason right now, in my opinion. That's really where the news all is.
Well, Neil, like, one more on Jackson, and then I'll get to Daniel Jones. And that is as follows. Is there a player more important? Now, we can debate the kind of quarterback he is, you know, the kind of thrower he is, great runner, and so forth. But is there a player that's more important not just to his locker room, but also to the fabric of his city than Lamar Jackson?
I've talked to people within Baltimore. I've read up a lot on comments and things that people are saying, just anticipating what's going to happen here. He's polarizing in a lot of ways. There are a lot of people that are really upset over the fact that, I'm trying to put this as delicately as possible, but he wasn't available to play in a playoff game. I mean,
I know.
You have to kind of be really injured nowadays to not play in a playoff game. Phillip Rivers played on a torn ACL going into the game. Like, he tore it the week before. I don't know how effective he was. It's not necessarily the best team strategy, but for him to have gone out of his way to upstage the team and tell everybody his injury status ahead of that playoff game, it seems very calculated. Some people are turned off by that. At the same time, you don't find MVPs readily available in any draft. It's not a simple thing to find. He has that kind of capability. I would also add to that, though, that you got rid of the offensive coordinator who designed the offense that helped, you know, propel Jackson to play at his highest strength. Do they not want to go that direction with him anymore? Do they feel that he's capable of doing more than a lot of the design runs that were just lethal for the team in 2019, setting up one of the most prolific, probably the most prolific ground offense the NFL has ever seen? He has an incredible story to this point. The fact that it really seems to be kind of on the fence, it's a very nuanced situation. And I think it very well could be that Lamar wants what he wants and in a lot of respects, he should get it. And he's gambling that another team is going to give it to him. The Ravens don't want to because the Ravens know him better than everybody else. And that's kind of the catch-22 here is if I'm an owner, a general manager of another team, it's like, you don't want to give him this contract. You want my draft picks instead. Why? You know, why would I give them to you? You don't even want the guy that I'm trying to acquire at this price. You know, what's wrong with him? You know him better than I do. That drives his market down even more. I think people, fans in particular, are at least somewhat attuned to that. And they're going to say, you know, I think we can probably rebuild because we kind of have to anyway. This isn't a team that has a ton of options this offseason. If it's not going to be Lamar long-term, we're better off getting rid of him because he has basically no reason to sign that tag, which would mean he'd sit out mini camp, training camp. Tyler Huntley would be their guy leading into camp. And they don't have the cap space to go out and sign Jimmy Garoppolo. They couldn't even sign a Mitch Trubisky. That's the situation that they're in. Excuse me for backtracking here too, but Huntley's also a free agent, so I don't know what their plan is going to be. But Lamar does not have to sign his tag, so it's to me it really is kind of long term deal or bust, and maybe that's just ultimately what this is going to be. And I think fans will probably react more negatively than that than anything else because you know how it is. Fans don't ever like the guy that gets paid the most in the league. You know, that there's always this weird sense that if fans want to side with the owners as opposed to the players. I think it's more just the tribalism of fans. They root for their flag more so than their players when the rubber meets the road. So with that, I think Lamar certainly not a player that they don't like, but I don't think that fans feel comfortable investing an above market level contract in him right now.
4 years ago, Jack Ham and I both strongly felt that the Giants would eventually franchise Saquon Barkley, and that came to fruition today because we just, knowing the collective bargaining agreement, the league, and so forth, we always felt that that was the easiest way for them to do it. That's 4 years ago. A year ago, Daniel Jones was not given a fifth year. 1 year later, he gets a new four-year deal after working 1 year with Brian Daboll. What does this deal tell us, not about him, but about the quarterback market and, okay, who's the next option?
That's what's so fascinating to me because I just ranted about Lamar Jackson, the idea of bringing in the new player having more value, yet the Giants are operating the exact opposite fashion, and I can see why. It makes perfect sense why they would want to do that. Here's what it comes down to. The market generated from all of this, not the other way around. Okay? The level of supply and demand is so incredibly in favor of the quarterbacks in this case. There simply aren't any. Daniel Jones stands out because he's an elite talent, because he's the next Joe Montana, not because he's going to tear the league apart over the next 4 years. It's because he's not Baker Mayfield. He's not Jimmy Garoppolo. Yep. And the bottom line is the price for not those guys is going to be $35 to $40 million a year.
Yep.
At that point, if you're arguing $5 million a season over 4 years, I mean, really, as crazy as this sounds, that's deck chairs on the Titanic. It's a premium that's put in for a position you absolutely need to have. And if your new, wildly popular, and successful head coach says, I can work with this guy and make him better, look what I did in just one offseason with him already. Now he's comfortable. Now we know each other. Where else can I take him? That's a huge vote of confidence. But they're paying for what he needs to become. Guarantees, so it's kind of a contradiction in terms. You know, they are going to pay him whether he turns into that or not, and they have to because they don't have a choice. Unless you want the reclamation project of Baker Mayfield, unless you want to go out and sign this year's Mitch Trubisky, he's your quarterback, and he knows he's your quarterback. You're 26, you've been your team starter for multiple years, and you're a free agent. That's what you're getting paid. It has nothing to do with the ability anymore. Unless you want what the Ravens have, unless you want that situation in which you're going to have to acquire a lot of capital high in the draft to get a rookie that you don't know anything about. And keep in mind, the hit rate on even high-end rookies right now, it isn't good.
Nope.
And we know that to come full circle because we don't know who Daniel Jones is. Six overall. Nobody liked that pick when they made it. He's had three not good seasons and one decent season. The three not good seasons led to, as you pointed out, the team saying, we don't even want your fifth-year option. We'll risk a tag that's twice as expensive as your fifth-year option. That's how little faith we have in you right now. We don't want to have to be saddled to you next year. He proves them wrong. Now they have to pay him. That's a premium. That's business. You know, there's nothing you can do about that. It just doesn't have anything to do with where Jones compares to anybody else in the league. That's really what this is about, and that explains the market. Teams aren't able to negotiate against other contracts anymore. It's just very simply whatever the general number is for guaranteed money, for overall dollars on X amount of years in a contract, that's really about it. You can't compare him to this player or that player. They're all roughly the same types of contracts now. So whoever's next, that's what they're going to get. It's almost like this unofficial slotting system that's taking over, and it makes you kind of wonder if they're ever going to kind of take a look at it because, well, you know, the Deshaun Watson deal kind of messes everything up, and I don't think that's feasible. I don't think it's necessarily a good deal for Deshaun Watson, but I think there are a couple other quarterbacks coming up that are better than most of what's out there right now.
Yeah.
And those guys are gonna get double what Daniel Jones got, maybe even on top of what Watson got. I mean, the market is going to explode in the next year or two. So get what you can now, Lamar, and good for Daniel Jones for being able to lock something up.
And we just went through the combine. Bryce Young, look, in terms of watching him play quarterback, I love watching him play quarterback. C.J. Stroud. Right, I watched him up close and personal for a couple of years play against Penn State. Beautiful accuracy. Obviously, I know a little bit about Will Levis. And I watched Richardson's tape against when they played Utah, and it didn't match up with anything else I saw from him. You go through this combine, you got, to me, two big question marks, and I think the world of Will, but he's still a question mark to me on the pro level. And Richardson, and yet everybody is enamored with them. And Neil, tell me, am I seeing this right?
I think my answer is going to prove pretty much exactly where this all is. I agree with you on Levis. I don't quite get why everyone is so enamored with him. There's plenty of positives. I just mean, as a future franchise, I'm planting my flag here. This is my guy for the next 15 years. I don't know if he's going to make it to year three. I don't know how good he is. I don't see a lot of that. I see good tools, but if we want to talk about tools, and I know how funny that sounds, I look at Richardson. It's like, oh my God, this guy is he's a tank. He's huge.
Yep.
He's got a massive arm. He's a great athlete. He has terrible feet.
Yeah,
you know. Work on it, very important, don't get me wrong. You need to be able to set your feet and throw. But that's how good of an athlete this guy is. He just doesn't right now have the footwork and have the experience feel the difference between throwing 40 yards on a line versus the guy's 5 feet away from you and you're throwing just as hard as you would. He's got, you know, some reps. He needs some work. They're two very polarizing players. It goes in line with everything else that we're seeing. Bryce Young, though, and C.J. Stroud, I think, are their floors are a bit higher.
Yeah.
I could see those two going 1 and 2 for that reason. I think there's less of a worry that they won't work out. But I do think Richardson has by far the highest ceiling of any of them. You're just not going to get the return on him probably right away because he needs to learn how to fundamentally throw a football. But I have no problem working with a guy like that. Yeah. You know, I need a year, Mr. Owner, sir. Please don't fire me after one season if he's not an all-pro player, because he's not going to be. But you can build him. You can work with him for sure. It's really interesting because I think all of them bring a lot of what you really want in a quarterback. And to your point as well, I would agree with this. I think, in my mind, Young possesses the most of everything. I think he's the most day one ready. But there's a lot to like with Stroud as well. We're going to go back and forth on this through up until 2 minutes before the pick is made. I'm convinced of that. I really think we're going to see a couple trades into the top four, and all four of them could go the first four picks. I've said that before, and it hasn't happened. I don't think that's ever happened in history. But these are four good prospects. I'm not as big on Levis, but I'll lean on other people that I know the game very, very well, and they speak highly of him. I could see that happening. I think he's four of four, but it's a really good quarterback class. These are good prospects in a lot of ways.
My friend, always a pleasure, and you know that. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.